All right, I'm going to be sharing about the gifts of the Spirit. There's a little bit of a ring. First scripture I have, I've got 10 scriptures that are going to go up there. And so if you're taking notes, I've got others that I'm just going to mention because of time. I've got a whole set of notes from Bible school that I did on gifts of the Spirit, and there's no way you can condense it into roughly a 30-minute sermon. So Hebrews 1:1 from the Weymouth translation, it says, God, who in ancient days spoke to our forefathers in many distinct messages and by various methods through the prophets. So the truths of God were brought out incrementally in a progressive manner by various individuals in a variety of ways. Revelations, angels, visions, dreams, dramatization, impressions. Kirk mentioned Isaiah walking around naked for 3 years. God spoke in a lot of various ways. He built progressively through the Old Testament. And the reason I bring this scripture out is we cannot put God in a box. If you listen, talk to this person, say, well, you gave a prophecy. How does God speak to you? How God spoke to them does not necessarily mean he's going to do the same for you. When I first got saved, I had been a glue sniffer, a huffer. And when I was high, this room would be a total different thing, but everything was just as real as it is here. And I got saved and I got off of it immediately. But I was scared of visions because I thought, I don't know if I'll be having a flashback. So God gave them to me in stick figures. Why? Because he knew my heart. He knows your heart. He knows things that you have, that you fear, or whatever. He will work with you. But we can't just say, all right, this is how he always gives prophecy.
Right.
He works in various ways. I hear people say, I've got a prophecy. Well, God gave me a vision. When God's given me prophecy, he gives me an idea that's just sitting there in my head, and I'm weighing out. Okay, is that for me? Is that an exhortation? Is that a prophecy? And the next scripture, 2 Peter 1:21, says from the Amplified, for no prophecy ever originated because some man willed it to do so. It never came by human impulse. But men spoke from God who were born along, moved and impelled by the Holy Spirit. I like that, moved and impelled. That's pretty much the meaning of that word. These men were moved. When I first started to prophesy, I was really moved because if you were sitting on the pew with me, that pew was shaking. Is that you, God? And you speak it. And somebody else sometimes comes up and says, I had the same thing. It's a confirmation. I gave Kirk a confirmation a couple weeks ago. He had an interpretation for a tongue. I'd been sitting back there, and I had this thought, and I was weighing it out. It was going along. Okay, God, is this a prophecy? I don't feel the impelling, but I'm sensing you speaking something. And then Kirk gets up, gives the interpretation, and it was right along those lines. So I missed him that service. Next week, I told him, hey, I had confirmation. Why? Because we still need it. We've been together close to 50 years. 50 years. How do we stay so young? But why? We still need affirmation. Okay, so the moving and the impelling comes in so many different ways. Some of you old timers, you've heard this testimony. I worked at Memorial Hospital in Colorado in housekeeping. I was having to clean patient rooms. And I always walked in and said, hey, how you doing? You know, just trying to just be generally nice. If they didn't want to talk, that's fine. Older gentleman laying in bed said, how you doing today? I said, oh, not so good. Having a hard time breathing. So, you know, I'm in the hospital. I'm thinking, you know, this is my job. I got to be careful what I say with people. And I'm mopping my way out. And there was a moving. I don't know. Was it compassion? I don't know. All I knew was, you better stop and go in and talk to this guy. So I did. I told him I'm a Christian. He said, so am I. I said, oh, where'd you go? Four Square Church. You know, are you born again? We went through that real quick. I said, I'm a Christian. I believe in Mark 16 where it says believers will lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. I said, do you believe that? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's what I'm going to do then. Prayed for him. He goes, I can breathe. Well, what moved me to stop? That was the Holy Spirit. He moves in different ways. I can't tell you. And so you have to learn to trust him. You need to learn. And he's not going to take you out in front of presidents and nations and say, I've got a miracle to work for you. Not if you don't even know it's his voice. He's going to work with you because he knows in some ways we are babes at hearing his voice. So take confidence in that. In 1 Corinthians 12, I'm not going to read through this. I just wanted to highlight certain points. In verse 6, there's different kinds of working, but the same God. In verse 8, the message of wisdom. I like the King James, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Faith by the same Spirit, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. It's the same God. There's different kinds of service, different kinds of working. You can't put them in the box. You just can't do it. And that's why you cannot take a look at everybody else and say, well, oh, I don't feel mine is the same as theirs. It might not be the same. I'm kind of an ornery critter. When things were going, when I first got saved, laying on hands and having people fall over by the power of the Spirit was going on a big thing. I'm the type, because some people were doing the pushover, and other people would succumb to it. I'm the type, you push on my chest, I'm pushing back. I figure if God wants to knock me out, he can catch me. My head can bounce on the cement and it won't hurt because he's doing it. But don't you push me. And so I'm going to say something. I'm going totally out of bounds here. We had people come last week to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you didn't get it, my word to you is to pursue the word of God. I'm so ornery when people are super hyper emotional about something, don't look at me for encouragement because I'm just weighing things out. And once I have it weighed out, I can move with it. But I don't like to have this emotional rush because to me, you end up like they did where they were going, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great. They were there for 2 hours and most of them didn't even know why they were there.
Right.
I want to know why I'm where and what I'm doing.
Right.
Not moved along emotionally. So there might have been some people that came that are kind of like me. All right, well, I'd prefer to do it myself, between me and God. That is fine. But let your heart be fully convinced from the scripture, because that's what will move you and create a hunger and a thirst and a desire to go and pursue it and not give up. So I'm not going to cover vocal gifts. We've heard a lot about tongues, interpretation, prophecy. Revelation gifts. I have them broken down just for understanding the vocal gifts, the three I just mentioned, revelation gifts, and then the power gifts, 3, 3, and 3. But you'll find it's hard to just interpret just one taking place. A lot of times the gifts are blended together. So this is just for instructional purposes to just kind of take a look at them. Word of knowledge in John 1:45, where Jesus was talking to Nathanael, he said, they were talking to Jesus, well, is this really a guy? And he says, yeah, when you were under the tree before he came and got you, I saw you there.
Right.
Well, wait a minute, Jesus, you weren't over there. No, it was a word of knowledge. Nathanael's under the tree. He knew it. And he knew the condition of his heart, that he was a guileless man. In 2 Kings 6, verse 8, the Syrians were plotting, and they're going along saying, okay, let's make our camp here. And Elisha's over here telling the king of Israel, saying, don't go over there.
Right.
And the king of Syria is getting mad, saying, who's a traitor? God was giving knowledge that Elisha wasn't running around spying on him, saying, where are they camping next? And I'll tell the king. God was telling him.
Right.
In Acts 9, verse 10, Ananias is told, go to this house, you'll find Saul of Tarsus. He's there. He's going to be used by me. We had a young man here years ago. Because here's another thing about the spiritual gifts. Everybody's kind of waiting until they're more mature. Or I'm mature now, I can be used. Guess what? You get saved, baptized in the Spirit, you're ready to go. You just have to learn His voice, where He's leading you. But you've got everything you need. This young guy, his spiritual walk was up and down. But when he was on it and he came to church and he had words of knowledge, guess what? There were people responding because it was the Spirit of God moving in him. And if you're waiting until you're perfect, then you're going to have words of knowledge in heaven because we need them now, not later. The other thing about spiritual gifts before I forget, is when we get to the power gifts, and I think people wait to see, okay, well, I haven't seen leadership really doing that, so I don't know. Leadership is not going to have all the gifts. It says it's a body ministry. Leadership might have some things, but it says as God wills. So if you're looking to me saying, well, I haven't seen Rayo working any miracles, so I'm not going to. That might be something he doesn't want me to do right now. But if he's speaking to your heart, you need to learn to step out. If leadership had everything, why would there be a body ministry? Word of wisdom, Matthew 22:15. They said, Jesus, should we pay tribute to Caesar? He said, whose picture's on the coin? They said, Caesar's. Well, give Caesar what's due him, give God what's due. Do you have a little book that you walk around with, little pithy sayings, and you're ready to go with it? No. That was wisdom from the Father. In Genesis 41, Joseph had a word of wisdom that came through the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream. There's going to be a famine. Here's what you need to do. You need to... Who'd that come from? Came from the Father. Word of wisdom, it gives a leading and gives a direction. In Acts 10, verse 9 through 28, Peter's a Jew, and God shows him all these unclean animals and says, go ahead, kill and eat. And he's like, no way, God, I can't do that. He says, if I call it clean, don't you call it unclean. And he's thinking about this. Somebody's at the door. It's the Gentiles. Hey, you need to come with us. It's not really lawful for me to go with you. But, okay, God, I think you're giving me some wisdom here. If you're not calling them unclean, I should go. And what happened? A move of God. Discerning of spirits. It's not the gift of discernment. We all have that. Oh, I think that guy is, he's kind of low down. He's kind of hard-hearted. It's discerning of spirits. In Hebrews 13:2, it says, beware of strangers, because some people have entertained angels unawares. But also in 2 Corinthians 11:14 and 15, I'll look up there. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And his ministers are also the same way. We need to be able to discern that. 1 John 4:1. Believe not every spirit, but try them, because many false prophets have gone out. He's not saying, test the spirits in the room. No, you're testing the spirit of the person that's speaking. You're saying, God, I'm just feeling something very strange about this. And a lot of times you can find out that it's not as it seems. Our old pastor had a friend who went to the Philippines, and they had... I believe they were called the Espiritistos. They were healers. And he actually saw this. He wrote a book, which it's been so many years, I can't remember what it is. But where the guy would reach in to the guy's chest and pull something out and then be healed up. It's like, wow, that's a miracle. Except for the orgies that those guys went to afterward. It wasn't the working of God, and it says that there's going to be lying signs and wonders coming up in the end days. We need to be able to discern.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to move into power gifts. The gift of faith. Because I'm trying to keep an eye on time and just do a half hour. We all have faith as Christians, but the gift of faith goes above and beyond that. It's given for situations that are more than our personal relationship with the Lord. And so we'll get to working of miracles, but working of miracles is like an active gift. God finding situations where he can do something wonderful. The gift of faith seems to be more passive or receptive. Receptive, being able to expect something great or extraordinary. This is where the blendedness comes in. Peter walking along, going to the temple. Beggar says, hey, you got something? Peter says, yeah, I don't have any money or gold, but what I got, I'm going to give you. And he's healed. Was that gifts of healing? Was that the gift of faith? Or working of miracles? I don't know. But the gift of faith would be above our normal. You've got Daniel stop the mouths of the lions. You've got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, it doesn't matter if you toss us in there, whether God saves us or not, we're still not going to bow down. Now you can say, I would be brave in all those situations.
Right.
Till you feel the furnace heated up 7 times hotter than normal.
Right.
And then it's kind of like, okay, God, will you forgive me if I don't? Why? Because we have a fallen nature. Now we have the Spirit of God, but there are times when he gives us something extraordinary for his purpose, not for glorifying ourselves. All right, gifts of healing, it's a plural word, gifts, multiple, of healing. And in Isaiah 53, we see that Christ provided healing as part of the salvation package. And there are so many different ways people are healed. You can't put him in a box. You just have to do what he is telling you to do at that time. Like that guy in the hospital. I just felt I need to share that with him. And I need to pray. If God tells you spit on the ground, make mud and rub it in their face, just do what he's telling you. But I can't tell you, he's going to heal the same way every time.
Right.
Working of miracles is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature. If there's a natural cause for what looks like a miracle, it's not a miracle.
Right.
Well, this happened because we did this. Well, good, you did that, but that was not a supernatural miraculous working of miracles. A working of miracles is like Elijah going along. God says, now go over here, tell this widow woman to make you a meal. He says, hey, could you fix me a meal? She says, well, I got 2 sticks, a little bit of oil. We're going to eat it and die. He said, well, fix mine first. And what happened? The cruise of oil just kept giving. It's a miracle. Mark 16:20 says, he'll confirm the word with signs following. Miracles. Deliverance. Second Chronicles 20. You have the children of Israel. They're going out to battle. And God says, no, don't send the army. Send the singers out first. And you will not have to fight. You got to have a little confidence in God at that point. Okay, so all our singers are going to get butchered. We won't have a worship team. They went out and they were told to praise. And they did. And the enemy turned on themselves and killed themselves. You say, that's crazy. Yeah, but that's our God. He can do what he wants. In Joshua 10, verse 12, Joshua said, "Sun, stand still." And it did. That's not something we can manufacture. Say, well, there had to be an explanation for it. 24 hours? You explain it to me. I'd be glad to hear it. Raising the dead in John 11. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus raised him from the dead. Those are the spiritual gifts. Now, here's the thing. We come to church and it's like, won't the spiritual gifts make new people nervous? Yeah. So will proper preaching of the word. Because what does the word do if your heart's not right with him? It convicts. It convinces. And so that's not a comfortable feeling. So we shouldn't be worried about comfortable feelings as much as let's just do it biblically, which we try to do. We try to have things decently and in order. Are the gifts for today? I had one scripture up there. You can skip the Romans 15 one. I had actually several I was going to just make mention of. My time's running short. But in the New Testament, signs and wonders confirm the gospel.
Right.
And we preach Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right. Amen.
But he's only half here for your salvation because he doesn't work miracles anymore. These gifts aren't available. That is such a lie. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, what did he do then? Signs and wonders. And where did he cut it off? He didn't. Boy, this time went fast. I've got about 2 minutes. I only did 30 minutes. We ran late. I started at 15:15. We normally start about 5 to 11.
Why are you looking at me?
Each of us has been given a measure of grace by Christ. Because we're a body. I'll give you scriptures that you can write down. Ephesians 4:7. Unto every one of us is given grace. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 11. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Romans 12. Trying to find my notes here. Just as each of us, these members do not all have the same function. Each member belongs to another. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Prophesying, serving, teaching. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, you can't say to the eye, I have no need of you, because I want to be the hand. I want to be the power. We're all working together, but it's every member of the body has been given a grace that we need to find and fulfill that capacity. And here's my one big point in all of this. If you were talking to somebody, let's say Ted, he's been struggling financially, and we know that there was $1 million put in his bank account. And I say, hey, Ted, how's things? Oh, man, we're struggling financially. Well, did you look in your bank account? Well, yeah, but I don't know. That's too high a number to believe. We as a church are waiting for God to move. For I know in the end times there's going to be a greater move of God. Scriptures seem to indicate that. But it's like we're waiting for something. And God is saying, I gave you a bank account that is unlimited. I've given you graces. I've given you miracles. I've given you healing. And the problem is not God. It says desire spiritual gifts. Azusa Street started a great revival, didn't it? With the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What if we were white hot pursuing God? Because that's what it says when it says desire spiritual gifts. That word, the root word of that means like white hot metal. The problem is not God. The problem is us. Because he wants us to seek him out. And that's when we'll see him moving. We see it stirring. But what if we were all saying, God, what is it you want me to do? And pursuing him for that. What would change? Could we be a new Azusa Street with seeing, well, yeah, well, I'm not looking for a reputation. I'm just saying the possibility of stirring and seeing the heart of God move doesn't have to be somewhere else.
Right, that's true.
It depends on our hearts. Amen. Stand with me, please. I'd like to go ahead and pray and just end it. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just stir within our hearts just a hunger and thirst for you to be able to grasp a hold of the things that you have already placed within our reach. But sometimes we just fail to recognize it, fail to pursue it. Lord, strengthen our shortcomings and continue to create a hunger for you in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.